Sister Annie thinks I'm a science project. But you know something? I guess I'm not so average anymore.
Hey everyone, welcome once again to the secret world of Cal and Jack, in which Cal and Jack watch Alex Mack. I'm Jack, and join me as always, it's Callan.
Hey.
Hey. I'm very excited to be talking to you about Alex Mack.
I'm just excited to be talking to anybody.
Yeah, it's back in lockdown in Melbourne, but fresh, well, not exactly fresh, about 2 weeks fresh of us seeing each other in person for the first time in a very long time. Fresh off our viewing of Fast 9, the Fast Saga.
Yeah, Fast and Nine, Fear Nine-ness. This one's about family and cars. You put family in the car, but you can't take the car out of the family.
Yeah, we had a great time watching some non-Alex Mack related content a couple of weeks ago at the lovely Kino Cinema in Melbourne. But back on the Alex Mack train today what is actually going to be the final time in this half series of The Secret World of Cal and Jack. We're splitting season three into two halves because I've got to move overseas soon. So that's interesting. But
to the land of Alex Mack, the United States of Alex Mack.
I'm moving to Paradise Valley. I'm going to get to the bottom of this once and for all.
Yeah. You're going to find that hat, give it to Gus. And Gus? Who am I talking about?
Vince.
Gus.
George.
I don't know. Maybe there's someone called Gus there.
There's probably been a Gus somewhere along the line. So this is the end of part one. This will be the last episode in part one of season three, and we'll pick up where we left off in a little while. So me moving, that's kind of a Jack fact, but how about one of these?
A Mac fact, a Mac fact for today.
Callan, something a bit special today. I mentioned earlier that we had our lovely trip to the cinema recently to see Fast and Furious 9.
Yeah.
Hey, Cal, you want some Fast 9 facts?
Yes, please.
I thought, you know, the link can be that Callan and Jack host the Secret World of Cal and Jack podcast, which is about Alex Mack. So technically facts about them are facts about the podcast, about the show. So
really, it all takes place on Earth. So
yeah, and really, if anything, Alex Mack is about family.
That's true. And cars.
Nothing's more important to Alex Mack than family.
That's true. That is very true.
Hey, Cal, Fast 9 was released exactly 20 years after The Fast and the Furious, which came out in 2001.
Wow.
This is a good one. Red Digital Cinema, who are traditionally a camera company who make high-def cameras, they paid for heavy product placement of their new Hydrogen One smartphone. However, poor sales caused the company to discontinue it and exit the smartphone business in November 2019 after filming had completed, but months before the film was released.
So there's a lot of product placement for a phone that no longer exists.
Exactly.
Fast and Furious 9.
Yep. So heading into spoiler territory for anyone who hasn't seen Fast 9. So if you're intending to get out there and see it, maybe skip ahead.
I don't think
you
can spoil Fast 9, to be honest. Like, I think it's immune to spoils.
Yeah, right. You can certainly spoiler one of the cars though that they're driving.
car pun. Good.
So do you remember, Callan, in the scene where Vin Diesel meets up with the primary antagonist in that mansion party that had all the girls dancing outside?
Yep. I do remember that scene.
And he gets kind of like arrested and taken away by some secret police who turn out to be on his side.
Yeah.
And there's a woman who takes a helmet off and explains what's happened. That was musician Cardi B.
Oh.
And she's the third female music artist to appear in the Fast and Furious series. Rita Ora was in Fast and Furious 6 in 2013, and Iggy Azalea was in Furious 7 in 2015.
Yeah. I also noticed someone else in there. I was watching it and I kept going, Is that is his name Francis Ngannou, who's like the heavyweight champion of the UFC at the moment?
Oh right, okay, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that tracks
really heavily.
Do you remember that scene where they're like fighting on that kind of like high tech bus truck,
and they're all on top of it? Yeah,
yeah, and then they kind of get inside it, and there's like that real muscly like guy, and he says something in French before they kick him out the back of the doors.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and they never really hung on him very long. Like, I thought they would make a big deal out of it if they've got, you know, someone that they're kind of like, it's kind of a cameo. Like,
yeah.
And he does a bit of fighting, and then they, and then obviously Vin Diesel is like so tough that he can just like destroy the UFC heavyweight champion of the world. Yeah,
by throwing him through a steel door on a truck.
And he says something like, family!
I love family! Listen, Skyline!
Yeah. Ah, that was Cardi B. Okay.
That was Cardi B. Final bit of trivia. This is a great one, Cal. Again, another spoiler. The actor Sung Kang plays Han, the character who comes back at about halfway through, who we thought had died in Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift. Remember that?
I guess
the whole thing about him coming back to life.
There was a lot of characters coming back into it, and they're like, oh my God, it's whoever, and you're back. And I'm like, I've seen all these movies, man. No idea who any of these people are, but I'll go along with it.
I was absolutely going along with it. Anyway, so that character, right, in the film Fast Five, there was a brief image on a computer screen when they were going through like their police profiles of all the characters, which revealed Han's full name, right? So his last name is Seoul, as in the city in Korea, and O is in OH. So the character's full name is Han Seoul O.
That's very funny. My friend Campbell once told me this story, which I misremembered and would always say wrong. But the actual story was like this friend of his dad at work who was like German or something, and his name was Hans Off, and his middle name was Jerkin. but I would always misremember it as his name was Hans Off Molina.
When I was young, when I was like a small boy, there was a player in the St. Kilda football team whose name was Luke Beveridge, like B-E-V-E-R-I-D-G-E.
Yeah.
And my dad told me when I was young that his parents were real jokers and his middle name was Warm. So his full name was Luke Warm Beveridge, which I believed and told people for years. And then I mentioned it to him when I was like 16 or something. He's like, what? No, I made that up.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah.
When your parents just do some like light trolling that you just believe for years.
Yeah. It really sticks with you.
Would you give your kid a novelty middle name for the lols?
Oh, yeah, the things I would do for the lols with a human life, Callum.
That's the only motivation I have to do anything, really.
Anyway, season 3, episode 8 of The Secret World of Alex Mack was called New World Order. Mm. And it's about the rise of fascism in Paradise Valley, California.
Yeah.
No, it's not really. New World Order refers to the new way things are going to run in the Mack household. That's what happens at the start of the episode. Callum, tell us what the big change is for the Macks.
Well, George Mack's been reading a lot of QAnon, and he went down to that pizza restaurant to see if Hillary Clinton was really eating babies.
They're lizard people, Alex.
Well, it just makes sense when you think about it.
Well, I just think you should do your research.
Yeah, so George Mack and Barbara Mack are imposing a new world order on the Mack family, which is that Barbara Mack is going back to college. And the show is now about Barbara Mack at college. It's kind of like a community vibe. There's a whole new cast of characters. Alex Mack is sidelined. She doesn't. We're not really interested in her powers anymore.
Sort of a Revenge of the Nerds kind of thing.
Yeah, so Barbara Mack has to kind of fit in with all the young kids, and maybe she like lies about her age. And, is trying to get a degree in, was it social services?
Social work. Yeah, social work.
Anyway, we don't see any of that. But basically the impetus of this is that everyone else needs to start pulling their weight in terms of housework. So George has like a rallying speech, was like, we need to support your mother by doing the weight, which really means you two girls need to do all the work while I make a lot of mess and just eat leftovers all week. And that's basically the setup for that. That doesn't go anywhere for a while. Do you want to get into the main plot of
the
episode?
Yeah. So one of the leftovers that George is continually trying to eat throughout the episode is a particularly disgusting curry that Barbara Mack makes for everyone. Makes a big batch of it, so there's plenty of leftovers for everyone to eat. So the family eats this weird curry, and shortly after dinner, Annie needs to get something that she's dropped under the fridge. So she asked Alex to help her move the fridge out of the way. And to her surprise and Alex's surprise, Alex is just able to lift the fridge up basically single-handedly.
Yeah.
She's not telepathically moving it. She just has all of a sudden developed this super strength.
Yeah. So was it the last episode where Annie said something along the lines of, maybe you'll get some new powers this season, Alex?
Maybe we need to make season 3 of The Secret World of Alex Mack more interesting, so maybe some more stuff will happen.
Maybe you can have some new powers to clean the house with.
So Annie puts her to the test, as she always does when anything interesting happens with Alex Mack. Annie locks her up in the garage and makes her do tests, and she tries to lift a 250-pound barbell and is able to just whip it over her head real easily. Ray says, no, this isn't enough. This isn't enough testing. Let's take her to like the tractor graveyard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the place in Paradise Valley where people leave all their old like tractors and earth moving equipment and stuff, just leave it there to die. And, you know, there's a tractor there that weighs 6 tons that Ray's going to challenge Alex to lift up to see how strong she really is.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, while this has all been happening, Kelly has been observing Alex from afar while Alex babysits this kid, Ryan, who lives across the street.
Yeah, who's a real jerk off.
Real brat of a kid.
Real Dennis the Menace type.
And Alex, you know, at one point, Ryan locks Alex in an upstairs bedroom and Kelly sees this happen. And then all of a sudden, Alex, you know, she sneaks out by puddlifying herself and sneaking out through the drain pipe. But as far as Kelly's seen, she's just magically appeared downstairs. So Kelly's suspicious. She wants to know what's going on. So she's followed Alex and Annie and Ray to the tractor graveyard, and she sees Alex lift this 6-ton tractor without any trouble at all.
Mm.
But then all of a sudden she can't hold it anymore, and she drops the entire thing on her foot.
Yeah, but she's fine.
She's fine. I think maybe it's not like on the weight. If it's not on her, it's just like trapped her in there somehow underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, her super strength is gone. And Annie, with all her intelligence, first, obviously, Annie makes her first suggestion, which is to turn into a puddle and escape.
That's Ray's suggestion. And Annie's like, you fucking idiot, Ray. She can't do that now, obviously, for some reason.
She can't do it in this one specific circumstance when she's always been able to do it otherwise, but she can't do that. So Annie deduces that since Alex's diet almost entirely consists of mini glazed donuts most of the time, the fact that she ate her mum's weird curry recently, which had cayenne pepper in it, is probably the thing that combined with GC-161 to give her short-lived super strength.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, absolutely. So with that, Annie sends Ray running home to the Alex Mack household to burst into the Alex Mack kitchen and pull the leftover curry out of George Mack's hands and run it back to Alex so she can have a big bite of it, get her strength back, and lift the tractor off her.
That scene where Ray bursts into the house and takes the curry off George is pretty funny, because like 3 or 4 scenes of George trying to eat the curry, but then kind of being interrupted by some reason. Yep. So he really wants this curry.
He's desperate. He's
even though
curry.
It's been set up that this curry tastes like shit. And it looks like shit too. Like they didn't
awful.
Even like get a real curry for the prop. It just looked like they got like one of those store-bought tins of pre-made cake icing. Like it's all brown and not very thick and just looks horrible.
Yeah.
And Ray bursts into the house. George is just about to take a big yummy mouthful. Ray basically slaps it out of his hands and says, I've got to take this. Alex is trapped under a truck and she needs this to get her superpowers back, and then bursts out of the house. which I just thought was quite amusing. And then George yells after him something like, if Alex has got superpowers, why doesn't she use them to clean the house? It's like,
well, she always does that.
Every episode.
She's going to do it in this, George.
It's 25 minutes. Like, of course she will.
So that's where we end up. And the other thing that happens in this episode, which I quite enjoyed, was how the house got like continually and increasingly dirty and messy as the episode went on, as Barbara Mack had left.
So it seems a little bit unclear about how long Barbara Mack has been gone for, because I would imagine going back to uni, she's just gone for the day, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know why George isn't at work either, but like over the course of the day, George Mack seems to have completely trashed the entire house. And he's kind of got this like smug bachelor thing going where he's like clearing away all the dirty dishes to make room for him to sit down at the table and eat this disgusting curry. Yeah. But so there's a bit of a ticking clock that happens because he gets a call from Barbara that tells him that she'll be home, in 20 minutes or something. Is everything under control? Is the house in order? What's for dinner? And George is like, well, oh.
5 o'clock.
And so he probably writes a note telling the girls to clean up the house and then goes to get takeaway curry.
So the whole episode wraps up with Kelly having seen all the commotion with Alex and the lifting the tractor. She calls up a local news crew or like a local current affairs show called Real Copy to come and film Alex and catch her in the act. But of course, Alex has managed to regain her super strength and get herself out of the jam she was in
using the curry power.
Using her curry powder. The camera crew's there. So instead of them filming Alex manages to use her zappy electricity powers to power up one of the tractors and let it become sentient and rogue. And it chases Kelly away and presumably runs her down and kills her.
Yeah, because it kind of just fades away. we don't see that resolve. Yeah. But she seems to like, because my thought was when Alex leaves, the tractor loses its power, but it seemed to just continue chasing her going, indefinitely. Yeah. So yeah. I guess she did imbue it with life, and it's just a living tractor.
And now there's a spin-off series called The Secret World of Alex Mack Truck.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that it was maybe not the best idea for her to throw her off the scent of her having powers by using her powers to bring an inanimate object to life and chase her down in a very conspicuous way with the news crew following her.
And of course, the news crew instead films Kelly being chased by the sentient tractor, and that ends up on the news that night.
And Alex and Annie go home. They see George's note, which is like, gone to get curry, more curry. Can he clean up the house? Which Alex easily does because she's got superpowers, which she only uses to clean up houses.
Yep.
She didn't even pick up anything like big.
Yeah. She didn't even sweep under the fridge.
Yeah. Like that would, yeah, exactly. Sweep under the fridge.
Yeah.
Do something with this new power.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the end of the episode.
Yeah.
They have a nice dinner. Neither of the girls seem to be like at all annoyed that George Mack just like got completely out of any work. And he keeps saying things like, good work, team. And
yeah, he
like,
calls himself the team captain.
And he's like, what did you do, George? You did nothing. Come on, pull your weight.
You made all the mess, George.
Cook dinner. You know how to cook dinner, don't you, George? Jesus.
You can make a mac and cheese for sure.
He loves a mac and cheese.
So kind of a like one of these weird episodes where kind of nothing really happened, but I still quite enjoyed it.
I thought it was good stuff. I mean, it was new stuff, and it felt like there was a bit more stakes. I do like the idea of Kelly being a foil a bit more, and her maybe getting like increasingly unhinged as she tries to figure out what's going on with Alex and her powers.
Yeah, I like. Two things I like from this episode. I like with the ending, with sending the tractor after her. Like I like how cavalier Alex was with the powers. Like I kind of like the idea that an episode could end like that.
Yeah.
Like she hasn't solved the problem. She hasn't come up with an excuse for Kelly. Like the thing they keep saying is like, Kelly, have you been out in the sun too much? You've got heat stroke and you're imagining things.
Yeah.
but she can't imagine. She probably, you probably can't convince her that she imagined getting chased by a tractor. And the idea that like the show kind of taking itself a bit less seriously.
Yeah.
And just being like really Alex's only defense, Kelly being like, Alex, you've something's up with you. You've got superpowers. You could lift that thing. And Alex being like, shut up, Kelly. No, I don't. Tractor.
Yeah. I do like that this idea of her being like a little bit less, you know, oh no, people are going to find out, to be like, who the f- cares if they who find cares? Out? I have fucking superpowers.
I'm a god.
What are you going to do about it? Tractor. Bridge.
I also kind of liked the idea, and I feel like, Callum, this is something you could like, you could help me break down the possible narrative implications of, and maybe there's been pop culture examples that you can fill me in on in the past. Uh-huh. But like Alex's like power of the week.
Like, oh, sure.
Each week, because in this one, she all of a sudden has super strength that she has for a little while.
Yeah.
But then it fades away because she doesn't eat cayenne pepper again.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it could be a bit repetitive and formulaic, but I kind of like that idea because it lets them introduce a new power that she does something with, but then I won't be annoyed the next week after they completely forget about it.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Like, do you think the super strength thing is ever coming back again or is it ever be referenced?
I mean, it would be kind of cool if they figured out that the way different foods interact with the GC-161 in Alex's DNA, if it's all different spices, so they figure out what each one does. So Alex has like a utility belt of little spice jars.
I was just thinking
that. And she takes a little shot each time she needs to do something.
It's kind of like June, how they all have that spice, which gives them kind of magical powers.
Yeah.
Or there's this other fantasy series where there are these different types of kind of magic people, and they eat different metal compounds to have different powers. And they do exactly that. They've got these little vials of like mercury or whatever that they.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, she's got this like bat belt with like mustard and tomato sauce on it. It's wasabi.
Mm.
Yeah, no, I like that idea. It kind of like reminds me of a little bit of the way that like Nintendo designs video games, where there'll be like a mechanic that they'll use for a series of levels and just kind of try all the different things you can do with that mechanic and then just abandon it and try something new the next week.
Yeah.
So I do like the idea of like, I mean, I feel like they could have done more with this, but I mean, that's always the criticism of an Alex Bag episode. It's like, really could have done, this is a bit of a wasted opportunity. They could have done more with this idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, like this week, Alex can go invisible. What does she do with that?
Yeah.
This week, Alex can read minds. She knows what women want.
Ooh, lighten up on that aftershave, buddy.
This year, Alex can predict the Oscar nominations.
Fast 9, clean sweep.
This year, Alex can drive her car into space.
This year, Alex can take control of George Mack's body.
I would like to see some time travel in this show. Like maybe she can like puddle back in time. Because I'd like to see the like Back to the Future 3 version of Paradise Valley, where she goes back in time and... like basically all of the characters are there. Like there's the, you know, last generations, you know, that version of time travel where it's basically like everyone's relatives are the same person,
the same
but
person.
Just wearing cowboy hats.
Yeah.
Like I want to see the, like, you know, there's Vince and George Mack and Ray and everyone, but they've all got cowboy hats on.
Yeah. That would be sick.
And like, you know, maybe Vince is like the, Either like the bad guy who's coming into town to like do something, or like the corrupt sheriff, maybe.
Yeah.
And Lewis, I don't know.
Lewis is definitely the bartender.
I was just thinking bartender. He'd be a good bartender.
Yeah. And Danielle Atron can be like some Southern belle who's all like, well, I never.
I do declare. Yeah, more time travel.
That one episode where Alex like imagined she'd never been born.
Oh, yeah.
Which was not necessarily time travel, but was like alternate timeline.
I think, you know, because like we've all often said that the best episodes are the like weird dream sequence episodes. It would be good if they did that, but they just didn't like kind of pussy out of like having it be part of canon by making it a dream. It's just like, you know, this episode, this is just how things work this episode.
Yeah.
Or like even, you know, that episode with Ray where Ray got the powers.
Yeah. That was sick. That was so good.
Like, I would love for that to be real. Like, what would happen when Robin has powers, or like, just be a little bit more liberal with.
Yeah. Just let loose.
Lewis.
Yeah.
Let Lewis.
Let's not go crazy. George Mack.
Yeah.
Imagine totally. George Mack exclusively using his powers to like zap his curry warm again.
Just turning into a puddle.
So George Mack gives us a pretty good, when he's on the phone to Barbara Mack, he gives a really good mwah on that one, right?
He does, yeah.
Is it possible, Callan, that we're the only people in the world to notice that this is an ongoing character trait?
I think so.
Like, it's not big enough to be like mentioned in any article or anything I've seen.
Have you been googling George Mack? Mwah?
No, not that specifically, but just like reading a lot of things about Alex Mack. No one, everyone's like, oh, they've, you know, she wore a lot of hats. That was a thing, and the kids all got along, and no one's ever like, George Mack said mwah once. And we thought it was hilarious, so we kept doing it.
Do you know that now, according to, you know, hard data and science, we are the world's premier experts of Alex Mack, other than the kind of show creators themselves. I think we've now generated, when this whole thing is over, we will have generated more Alex Mack content than Alex Mack itself.
We're like the special features of Lord of the Rings.
Exactly right. Very entertaining, probably more so than the movies themselves. Definitely ages better.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson's weight goes up and down quite drastically. Mm. And I don't know, maybe mine does. I don't know.
Yep.
You can't tell. You're just listening to me. You don't know what I look like.
I could be anyone. And then we'll make three more movies a few years later that everyone will hate.
Yeah, but it wasn't really our fault. It was that damn Guillermo del Toro. Yeah, what was the question?
I think the question was this.
She doesn't have a cat, her mom's name isn't Pat, but she always, well, almost always wears a hat. Alex Mack wears a hat.
How about that?
She had that classic bean, classic Cheddar beanie.
Bean. Classic Mac beanie.
Chili bean.
Light blue clap to start off with. And we're not talking so much about a hat, but referring to something else someone wears. There's a real great burn early in the episode where Alex Mack is talking to Kelly for the first time, where she's like, Kelly, have you been out in the sun too long? You might be hallucinating. And Kelly's like, no. And Alex is like, hey, it happened to me once. I was at the beach with my family and I thought I saw a whale in the sand, but it was just my dad in a Speedo.
You're banned.
So if you head to our website now, you can download the George Mack in a Speedo desktop background in high definition.
Just with some commentary by David Attenborough.
Yeah. Majestic.
I love George Mack. I think
George Mack was great. This episode was great. I had a great time.
Yeah, it was George Mack heavy, and I just like George Mack doofusing around. And I'd like more of it, please.
Yeah, absolutely. He was a great doofus in this episode.
And I want more Ray and George scenes, I think. They don't get to spend too much time together, but I like it.
I love mid-90s sitcom young neighbor bursting into house uninvited energy. You don't get that a lot in, I don't know, I guess maybe I don't watch that many sitcoms these days, but those kind of shows don't exist anymore. And just the idea, like, it's kind of, I feel like in real life it would really annoy me if it actually happened, but in theory there's quite a nice like feeling to just like hanging out at home and then your hilarious neighbor bursts in the door like Kramer or Urkel or whatever, does something wacky and then leaves.
Yeah. Well, my mum's been staying with us recently and she's bringing a lot of Kramer energy. Just bursting in the door, saying some pretty loud things.
Wearing a loud shirt and then leaving.
Yeah.
Uma, Callan, Uma.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's too bad she went on that racist tirade and got cancelled.
Yeah.
Well, I think that brings us to the end of episode 8 of season 3 of The Secret World of Alex Mack.
And I guess the end of season 3, part one of Cal and Jack Watch Alex Mack.
Yes, yes. That's what it brings us to the end of. Callan, have you had a good time?
Always.
Always. Always and forever.
Mm-hmm.
But we will be back. I've really sunk cost fallacied this and I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
So we're going to push through all the episodes. We'll be back with part two of season 3 in a couple of weeks' time. So listen out for that. In the meantime, email us on secretworldpod@gmail.com. You got any New York tips? I'll take them because that's where I'm moving.
Mm.
Look, it may be the city that never sleeps, but it's not the city that never podcasts. So we will be back.
I was just thinking about New York tips. And I think that if you go and stay at that hotel, you'll probably run into Trump in the lobby and then Tim Curry will try to get you out of the hotel. But if you just play some VHS tapes with gangster noises, you can frighten him away pretty easily.
Yep. Would I do that with a large cheese pizza or without a large cheese pizza?
I don't think there is a large cheese pizza in that one, but you can make friends with the lady who has all of the pigeons and lives. She's functionally very similar to the man that you met back home who shovels snow, but she's got pigeons instead.
She shovels pigeons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, until next time, thanks for listening. I've been Jack.
I've been Cal.
My best friend Ray thinks it's cool.
And my sister Annie thinks I'm a science project.
And we'll speak to you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.